Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. The Israelites had fled Egypt. They'd fled into the wilderness. God had specifically told them to go and camp against the sea, the Red Sea. And so Moses took them to the sea and they pitched camp there. And they were there long enough that Pharaoh had heard where they were, that they were there camped by the sea. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He regretted that he'd lost these servants, these slaves. He regretted that he'd let them go. And so he got chosen chariots. And each chariot was put a man, a captain, a very trained and important military leader was placed in each chariot. And the Egyptian army pursued the Israelites. And the Israelites saw across the desert this advancing Egyptian army. And they knew that that army, what it meant their destruction. But behind them was a sea that they could not cross. There were 2 million or so Israelites with all of their children, their young ones. But even the fittest and strongest of them could not hope to swim that sea. They were trapped. Trapped in this inhospitable wilderness. A wilderness that offered no shelter, no food, scarce any water. With an army that was coming to kill them and a sea that they could not cross. And what was their natural state? They were fearful. They were sore afraid. What happens when fear comes on us? Our bodies undergo an almost entirely unconscious response to that fear. Our nervous system and our hormones begin to act out of our control. The body releases the hormones, adrenaline and cortisol. Those hormones travel through our bodies, affecting our heart rate so that our heart begins to beat faster. It beats faster so that it can pump blood to the muscles. Our breathing rate increases. So we take in more oxygen so that the blood can become saturated with oxygen and supply those muscles with the ability to do work. Blood is diverted away from our stomach. It doesn't need to be digesting food. The blood needs to go to the muscles. Have you ever felt sick when you're afraid? Some people, entirely involuntary, when they become afraid, will throw up. The food in their stomach's no good. The body's gearing itself up. The mind also begins to think quicker in some areas and shut down brain function in others. The pupils of the eye dilate so that we can see threat and danger more quickly and clearly. Well, all these responses are going on when we're afraid. But the effect of these responses is to force the body into a fight or flight situation. We're prepared to do one of two things. Fight, so we're ready. Our bodies are full of oxygen. We're breathing. Our blood even thickens with platelets that will stop bleeding more readily. So that if a man is afraid and he's pumped up and he's cut, he will not bleed anywhere near so much as if he's in a relaxed manner and he's cut. So the body's gearing up for a fight, or it's gearing up to run. It happens to humans. It happens to animals. This fight or flight response when we're afraid. And the Israelites were very afraid. But this response of fear that was happening to them, what it was not gearing them up to do, was what they were commanded to do. Stand. Stand still. To stand still is an impressive thing. It's surprisingly difficult. I'm sure we've perhaps admired the guardsmen at Buckingham Palace that can just stand motionless for such a long period of time. But the Israelites, in their state of mind, being sore afraid, the last thing their bodies would have wanted to do would be to stand still. When we're faced with danger, standing still is not natural. We feel we must do something. We must fight the danger, deal with the danger, deal with the threat. Or we must run from the danger, run from the threat. It's the same, isn't it, also with our salvation, with matters of our sin and coming to God. Man has always felt that he must do something. He must fight, deal with the problem, or run from the problem. We can see it right in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve had sinned, and they could sense their shame. They hid, they ran from God, and they tried to cover their shame by sowing fig leaves. What Adam and Eve didn't do was just stand still. Cain also. Cain wanted to be about pleasing God through his efforts. And so his offering was all the labours of his hand, all of his workmanship that he offered to God. And Naaman, the captain of the army of the Syrians, a great man, he'd spent his career bringing great victories for the Syrians. He'd done many, many, many great works. But he'd got a problem. He was a leper. And he wanted to deal with that leprosy himself, to do some great work to deal with the problem that he had. And he was offended with the solution that God gave to him. Naaman, just go down to that muddy, dirty River Jordan and just wash yourself 7 times. The great man was offended. He wanted to do some great work to make himself better. It's in our human heart, isn't it, to be doing something. It's in our nature. It's an involuntary response to fight or to flee. The Israelites, they're commanded to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God's salvation doesn't involve man and his efforts. There's some great examples in this book of how God brought great victories to his people, brought salvation, brought deliverance with no effort on their part. You know the story from 2 Kings chapter 7, the siege of Samaria. The Syrian army had camped around the city, and the people in the city had got no food. They were desperately poor. The price of animal droppings as food had gone to astronomical levels. No flour, no bread, no grain, no meat. People were starving to death. And the prophet of God said, it will all change at this time tomorrow. At this time tomorrow, there will be an abundance of food. And one man scoffed, didn't he? He said, if the windows of heaven were to open, such a thing could not even be. It would seem to be an impossibility that they could be saved. Not just saved, not just saved from the Syrians, but even if where would the food come from? And then camped outside that city were some lepers. And they were hungry too. They weren't allowed in the city, but there was no benefit to being in the city now because there was no food in that city. And they were starving also. And they said, we're like dead men, but we know that there is food in the campsite of that Syrian army. Let's just go and chance our lives to the Syrians. Well, if they kill us, which they probably will do because we're their enemy and we're lepers, well, so what? We'll be dead. If we sit here, we'll also be dead. But it just might be that the Syrians will give us some food. And so the lepers go off to the camp of the Syrians. And when they get there, there's tents, there's fires and cooking pots, but there's no Syrians. You see, the Lord that night, he'd just blown his breath, and the wind moved, and the Syrians heard a rustle. It was just the wind. It was just their mind playing tricks on them. But they, as one, heard the noise of that wind and convinced themselves that somehow the king of Samaria had got messenger out of the city and he'd paid a foreign army to come and save them. And the Syrians panicked. There's an army coming on us. And so they fled. They fled so quickly. They left their tents. They left their food. And these lepers went into these tents and they found gold and silver that the soldiers had perhaps looted previously, and they found an abundance of food. An army marches on its stomach, and this Syrian army was well supplied. Their catering corps was in order. The quartermaster had got the stores full of food. And these lepers, they just started helping themselves. And filled their pockets with gold and silver. They were so excited. Then their consciences pricked them. And they knew that their fellow countrymen inside that city were even possibly now dying from starvation. And so they went back and they gave the word that the Syrians had fled and that there was an abundance of food. And then they thought, maybe it's a trick. Maybe they appear to have fled. But no, the Syrians had fled. And 24 hours later, or after, this man had said, there could never be such a thing. Inside the walls of Samaria, there was an abundance of food. You see, the salvation of the Lord, it's not anything to do with us. It's all of him. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, if we could have any part in salvation, we would become proud, wouldn't we? Pride is within us all. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It was God alone that brought salvation to the Israelites that day. It was for his glory. Not through them fighting, not through them running away. They were trapped, stuck. God said, just stand still and watch. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But really, the Israelites should not have been afraid. The psalm we read, Psalm 106, said that they had forgotten all the wonderful things that the Lord had done for them in Egypt, not many days previously. Time and time again, God had rained plagues down on Egypt, but his people had been kept safe. Plagues had come that had destroyed the Egyptians' way of life, destroyed their livestock, and even destroyed their firstborn. And yet the Israelites, they were safe. They had the blood. The angel of death had passed over them. And that had only been a few days, maybe no more than a few weeks at least, previously. God had brought them this wonderful deliverance. He'd done mighty works for them. And so whilst they might be in the wilderness with a sea and an army, if they had but just remembered what God had done for them recently, they should not have been afraid, should they? And maybe one of you here, yes, you've been saved. God has worked in your life. But right now you're struggling with things. You can't see your way out of it. You've got a sea on one side and an enemy on the other, and you're in a place that's barren and bleak. Well, don't be like the Israelites. Remember the wonderful works that God has done for you in your life. Think back on those times. Think how he's helped you in situations before, and take comfort from that. Yes, it can seem like God is distant from you. I don't know if you noticed, but God led the Israelites through the wilderness with a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. And the cloud was a shade and a shelter to them during the hot sun, and the pillar of fire was a guide in the darkness. And this pillar of cloud had gone before them, showing the way. But at this point, the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, wasn't suddenly before them. It moved. Where had it gone? It had gone behind them, between them and the Egyptians. And maybe you think, God's not before me anymore. He's not leading the way like he once did in my life. But that pillar might have just moved to a more strategic place. God is still with you, but maybe he has to be behind you to save you. Stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Where do we see the salvation of the Lord? Where do we need to stand? Well, we need to stand with some ladies that we read of in John's Gospel. John chapter 19. Incidentally, the disciples, the male followers of Jesus, when Jesus had been captured, they fled. They were afraid. All those involuntary bodily responses occurred. Their hearts started beating faster, their breath got quicker, and they fled. But they stood at the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. They were standing at the cross of Jesus. They were standing and seeing the salvation of the Lord. It's Jesus on that cross where God's salvation is shown, where God's salvation was brought to be, where sin was dealt with, where God's anger against sin was dealt with, was poured out on his son Jesus. His blood was shed that we might have the forgiveness of sins. And if this morning you're listening and you've never stood and looked at the salvation of the cross, I'd urge you to do that this morning. Don't be like the natural human condition that wants to have some part in salvation, that wants to be doing something. Maybe for you this morning it's just an understanding of these things and you think, I need to just understand more of them. I need to get my head around. Even my brain needs to be involved. Or maybe for you, you'd need to just stand still, put your trust, and see the salvation of the cross. It doesn't involve anything that you do. There's nothing you can do. You're stuck in a wilderness with an enemy on one side, a sea on the other. But stand with the mother of Mary. Sorry, stand with the mother of Jesus and see the salvation of the Lord. Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen.